Blog Talk Radio.
You are listening to the PW Torch Livecast for Wednesday, June 14th, 2017. I'm not Wade Keller, editor-publisher of the Pro Wrestling Torch. I am Bruce Mitchell, senior columnist. I'll be joined momentarily by Andrew Sochik, and let's go ahead and join up with him. Andrew, how you doing on this Wednesday afternoon?
Bruce, I'm doing good. Thanks for having me on.
Now, I'm assuming I pronounced your name correctly. At least I'm hoping that I did. I have this vague hope.
You nailed it. I was going to email you last night just to let you know, but I'm surprised.
Oh, you're surprised? Yeah, I am too. So I'm not going to I'm not going to do my fake outrage bit right there. So yeah, but I'm glad. That's cool. Of course, you have the Impact beat and also. PW Torch podcast, and I've been doing this with Wade some too. So anyway, I'm here. Wade and I are switching this week, so Rich Fan and Wade Keller will be on 7 Eastern time on Friday night with the PW Torch livecast. But number to call here is 515-605-9345. And I did kind of laughingly say, we get to see two different sides of Trevor Lee. So have you heard any of my reports with Trevor Lee on CWF Mid-Atlantic? And, of course, you know, he's an X-Division mainstay for Impact Wrestling. He and Andrew Everett come from that promotion.
Yeah, I've heard you talk about him quite a bit, being in some of, like, the best matches of the year. Last night, I checked out parts of his two-hour match. I didn't quite have time to sit through the entire thing, but I just wanted to get a good feel of his work in CWF. And like you said, it is completely night and day how he is presented between that promotion and Impact.
Right. I mean, it's just and I know, I mean, it's different, you know, it's different pressures and different ideas as to how to promote wrestling. But it whenever I go to these shows, and I go to them a lot over in Gibsonville, I was at the show you watched and at the Chip Day match and the one with Michael Elgin, just, you know, Michael Elgin a week before he wrestled Cody Rhodes at the New Japan show. It's part of it. It's just amazing to me to see that in front of 200 people. And then the big match, you would think it would be flipped. You know, then the big matches would be on national television. But just the way wrestling is right now and the way things, you know, you work for people and then you have your own chance to create what you want to create. And it's really there. But I know there are people, I definitely know there are people there. Of course, Hurricane Helms and Impact who know how good Trevor is, and it's just and shoot, Andrew Everett as far as that goes, and you wonder whether they'll take advantage of that. But just a champion defending a title on his home floor isn't necessarily something that Impact would want to do.
Yeah, it's very frustrating to watch with him. As soon as he debuted, I believe he beat Zema Ion in his first match for the X Division title. And when I saw him, I was like, that's the guy. That's the guy to build the X Division around, because they've been struggling with that for 10 years or so. Because he's got a great look. He has just something about him, and I think he's 22, maybe 23 now. He may never be like the next CM Punk or Daniel Bryan, but that is how Impact should be treating him, just in case within the next couple of years he catches on, because I think he just really has something. So, yeah, I've been writing probably for a year or so, just in various hit lists and various lists, just saying, like, this guy, like, he needs a push.
Yeah, he does. Yeah, he does. And, I just thought, well, you could, you know, if you're going to make something, the X Division's never been that well defined, and I think we also see that just doing spectacular moves and flipping and flying without being grounded in characters, without being grounded in a championship in a way that, you know, there's more than just four guys going out there and you see a match, you go, wow, that was really cool. And then you forget about it 10 minutes later. He can definitely wrestle that kind of match. I'd point to the Chip Day match too at CWF Mid-Atlantic, but it would remove some pressure off of TNA's creative. They could get that up and running, at least that kind of concept, whether it's Trevor or with Trevor Lee or with someone else, particularly just, you know, with Trevor Lee, where it's just, you know, a champion defending his belt. And then you can have longer matches, which more satisfying, which take up more television time. And and you can do your creative stuff without having to make comedians out of wrestlers who aren't really comedians, or having to come up with something new all the time. Just have something good all the time. There's a difference. Talk about what you do with PW Podcast, which is a new website that's part of the PW Torch family.
Over at PW Podcast, we cover all the biggest wrestling podcasts out there. It's just impossible to listen to them all every week. I mean, just something to wrestle with is usually like 3 hours alone. Throw in Tony Schiavone and Jim Ross, Steve Austin shows, you'd be well into 30 hours a week trying to listen to all the stuff we cover. So we do written recaps of all the shows, and then we provide timestamps. Like if Steve Austin talks about a feud with the Big Show in WWE, we'll kind of give you the timestamp of when he talked about that. So we cover, probably 15 or so of the biggest podcasts out there. And then also every day we throw up quick quotes, just notable news pieces. Just for like example, Kevin Eck was talking with Wade last Monday, I believe. And he revealed the origins of the Sister Abigail character. So I took that, thought that was fascinating because I'd never heard that. So just grabbed that, threw it up on the site, and just taking snippets from just tons of different interviews. So every day there is new stuff on the site to check out.
Yeah, cool. I mean, I'm kind of I'm closing up my school year, and I took a break from, you know, as much as I clean up, but anyway, cleaning up the classroom to come over and do this. And I think there's times where, there's all that time, you know, that you do want that. Okay, what's the sexy quote? What's the thing that was said here that's not the same story that I've heard before, or that's a different take on something, and or something new? And it's gonna come out. It's amazing to me that we have all this access to this information, but putting it into context is definitely harder. I mean, and now we're starting to get folks that are I read the Sasha Banks recap before I came over here, that where wrestlers with WWE are doing more mainstream interviews like this, and kind of how they present themselves to the public in a corporate way. And then you've got you've got Bruce Pritchard with Conrad Thompson, who's pretty much out of WWE and now a part of TNA, but you know, has the green light, or definitely feels comfortable as you know, talking about a lot more than he used to feel comfortable talking about. And you get a lot of little details from whatever time in wrestling there was to get that. But yeah, Sister Abigail is always fascinating to me because she's this character on the periphery that we've never seen. And you wonder whether they'll take her out of the realm of imagination and, you know, give her a personification. There was a lot of rumors when they burned the poor dead woman's house down, and, you know, crunched up her bones, Randy Orton, our hero, that she would then turn up. And, I wonder whether we'll get that. I guess we won't get it through the auspices of JoJo though, after that news this week.
Yeah, that was, for sure, one of the most disturbing moments of the year of him doing that. I'm sure Bray, you know, in his mind, he talked about his idea was like an old black woman from Louisiana who almost had like witch powers. I mean, that's just in his mind how he's been approaching that. So I wonder, I mean, you know, Vince McMahon, at any time he could just grab it and make it Nikki Crossett or somebody, you know, just sign somebody new. bring them in. So I would not be too surprised if she does eventually show up and they'll just kind of ignore the whole corpse burning thing, which they probably should, I would assume.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I wouldn't be surprised. I don't think, you know, her bones being burnt, and her being dead or anything like that, or getting digged up out of the grave and her house being burned down, you know, necessarily precludes her from becoming a character on WWE. And you look at, I'm laughing, but you know, they've done a lot of things that like make no sense and they flopped, but they've also done things with, Undertaker and Kane where, you know, they used to lay them out with Paul Bearer and literally lay them out, but they lay them out. And it sounded ridiculous, but because Undertaker was so over, Paul Bearer was so over, Kane was so over that people just went with it. And I don't know that they've gotten Bray Wyatt to that part, but I do like the idea of the what he's talking about. It reminds me of a character from Stephen King's The Stand. So that's definitely part of what's going on. So yeah, I mean, I think all those little things, and even, you know, even for folks like me who go way back, you know, Eric Bischoff, talking about, you know, now he's pretty much retired and talking about how he got along with people and also trying to burn his own legacy. And, I enjoyed, like, now they kind of see themselves as where do they stand with Bruce Prichard too. So kind of like that. And then Tully Blanchard is always, you know, it's always interesting to see Tully Blanchard on the other side of all the things that he went through for the last couple of decades and talking about something I saw really close up, which was the Four Horsemen. So as one of them, and he was just such a great heel, and I know people enjoy watching him on the WWE Network, but he's, you know, how it jives with what I remember and all that. But yeah, I mean, I think I think no one could listen to all this. I mean, it's kind of amazing, but everyone should listen to the Bruce Mitchell audio show. I'm a big believer in that, but, and the Wade Keller Daily audio too, but yeah, and you guys on Thursday night. So where do you see, I'm pushing it. So in the main, where do you see Impact, how it's going and you know, watching it closely week to week, more the content, the product, is it coming together? Is it not coming together? What do you think?
I had higher hopes for this newest era. It's still a very much a mishmash. They don't have like a top star. They're just building around, you know, like the WWE formula that they've done for many years. There are some cooler things in the promotion, which I think is important. I think LAX is doing a great job. That they just stand out from anybody, say in WWE. You know, they feel more like a Lucha Underground type act where they go backstage and shoot those kind of vignettes, but. It's great to see the X Division title being given the main event. That's, you know, something they should have been doing since day one, but it went away for years. So that's great to see. I think every belt except for the Knockouts title has at least got the main event once in the past few months. But overall, the management situation is a mess. As good as Bruce Prichard is on his podcast, his character on TV isn't that likable. Dutch Mantel is very undefined. Karen Jarrett is there. So there's a lot of things that are working and a lot of things that are not working. And just to top it all off, the GWF invasion is just, it's not working at all. It should have never happened. And it's just not going anywhere. Oh, then of course the announcing is pretty much one of the worst things ever.
Yeah. I think that it's a, concept of, you know, chaos and something's going to happen every 5 minutes and everything's up for grabs that we have seen so much of and that doesn't push a narrative forward or lead anything, that you just don't have anything. But the idea that, I mean, I know what Jeff Jarrett's up to, and I don't really respect it, but the idea that, number one, Impact needs to be solidified as a promotion, as what it's about, as a structure. And then global wrestling, what the hell is that? And then you're invading. It's like you've got to be something before you can invade something, and you've got to have some stakes and all that. And also the invasion angles have just been done over and over. And the ones that worked were the ones that people dreamed about for 20 years. They weren't the ones that, anyway, Global Force. And yeah, so I, you know, it's really a shame in certain ways that the people that can present to corporate America, and come up with numbers that convince corporate America, and are bankrupt of ideas. It's just, I mean, I understand what's going on, but it, every time that there's a, every time, and I think about this TNA, the whole history of it, this opportunity, and it's wasted, it does damage to the business as a whole and to the chance of someone who could come in and do a good job. Somewhat, you know, not even in impact, but anywhere of getting that chance. So, let's see where we are. Excuse me. I'm Mr. Smoothie. I'm sure you've heard me do this before, be Mr. Smooth. But we'll be right back to we'll be right back with some phone calls. The number to call is 515-605-9345 right after this.
When you're looking to tune in live to the PW Torch Livecast, find out about the next episode, or just catch up on an episode you missed, go to our new website, pwtorchlivecast.com. You can select shows by specific day, specific host, and format, including a grid of our latest interviews and best of selections on the homepage. That is pwtorchlivecast.com, where you can stream our show live and listen to past shows on demand. That's pwtorchlivecast.com.
All right, we're going to go to 985. 985, you're up next on the PW Torch Livecast.
Hey, guys. Hey, guys, this is Cody from Thibodaux, Louisiana. How y'all doing?
Doing fine, Cody.
Doing good.
It's good to talk to you guys. I wanted to talk about the Bailey segment with you guys from Monday night. I just thought it was, like, very bizarre, just the way that she kind of handled her loss, because the way you look at it, like, she got, you know, flat out humiliated and embarrassed at Extreme Rules, and I understand that, you know, she wasn't on TV the previous week, but at the same time, though, it was strange that she didn't still have, you know, that, you know, I've just been humiliated and embarrassed kind of way about her, like compared to Mojo Rawley last night, who, you know, admitted that he lost, but also admitted that he was going to use it as motivation to get back on the horse, which I found to be like a better, which was probably the way that Bailey should have handled her loss, but I didn't really see that. Also,
well, let me hop in on that. I think that they're telling a story with Bailey. That's Mojo Rawley was, they wanted to establish that he had beaten Jinder Mahal before Jinder Mahal had ascended to this, you know, this cheating championship role, and that they wanted him to go out there and say, look, you know, I beat him, but he's a different guy now. That was to tie up a loose story in, and I'm not real crazy about it, but it's okay. Bailey, they're telling a different type of story, and I'm not sure what it is, and I don't like, they shouldn't be telling any kind of different type of story with her. She's good at what she, if you allow her to do it, which is being a sincere, likable, ethically based baby face who strives for greatness and who inspires people who are like her. And so Andrew, you want to chip in on this?
Sure. I mean, it's just kind of the general consensus that Bailey has been badly botched. It's going to be really tough for her to overcome this. If you'd asked me a year ago which women are most likely to main event WrestleMania someday, I would have said Charlotte and Bailey. I think at this point, at least for me, I think it's over for Bailey. She could get repackaged, or, well, maybe not repackaged, but just rebuilt, but I just don't see that happening anytime soon in a major way. So it's frustrating to watch. But yeah, I don't know how they're going to get themselves out of it.
Yeah. I, you know, one of the things with Bailey is not, Bailey is not AJ Styles, or Bailey is not Nakamura, in that the clock is ticking on Bailey of having that youthful look. It's just the way it's just the way the world works, the way life works. And for her to have that fresh-faced innocence even taking care of herself, which obviously she does, you know, it's going to be, you know, it's, there's a time limit on that. And, but I'm just like, this is a basic thing. This is basic babyface wrestling. And you're right. And the idea that they're like, they've got Charlotte acting like a snotty heel in on a babyface team. And then they've got Bayley somewhere else. And they're so far away from being able to have that match where you would think that, just the stories behind the two characters and how they wrestle and what they look like and even their size would fit so well, good girl versus bad girl. I mean, you know, for a championship and for something strong to really build the women's division around. And instead, they never got the babyface run out of Bayley. They started messing with her way too fast. It's really, it's really disheartening in many ways. And what else do you have?
I agree with Andrew. I think she's been very poorly booked. And just from my own opinion, it seemed like Mojo's a more believable heel than just comes across as a more believable babyface than Bayley does. But I don't know if you guys caught this during the interview, but Bayley, specifically said, I'm not here to put bruises on people's backs. I'm here to put smiles on people's faces. And Corey asked the question, to paraphrase, how does that win you, how does that win you a match or anything like that? And it just seemed like a kind of tongue-in-cheek moment, because I know you guys talk all the time in the live cast about, like, for example, people like John Cena who go out to the crowd and ask them if they're entertained, or Roman Reigns who just says, you can cheer and boo me all you want, but my wife's still gonna love me when I get home. But do you guys see like some kind of WWE, telling the audience tongue in cheek, yeah, we understand some of the confusing things about our booking, or what do you guys think?
Yeah, I think they're trying to, I think they're trying to make something out of that, but I think they're kind of, again, there's this theme I see in WWE a lot of, and for years, of making fun of what they think are people who characters who claim to be decent, that's just a facade, that they're fakes, and that they're, how do you achieve your goal if what you're trying to do is put smiles on people's faces, which is hilarious because that's how they market themselves corporately. And that's how they market themselves to people who aren't wrestling fans, that, hey, we just put smiles on people's faces and we're all just playing and da, 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 da. And so then to put that into her character, and I don't even know where this is going. I don't know that they know where it's going, but I hated that. I hated that. It's like, and the answer is, I want to take my, I'm going to win the right way. I'm going to work hard and I'm going to achieve, and I'm going to take my fans with me and I'm going to be a role model for them. And when I stand in the ring, having done it the right way, knowing I'm the best, women's champion in WWE, I was trying not to use the word wrestler. We'll all be smiling. And the truth is that's a legitimate story. That is the wrestling story. That's the babyface wrestling story. And that she had no answer and they put her in that position, like they don't even remember that, is just, as I said, disheartening. You want to, chime in on that, Andrew? Appreciate the call, by the way.
Yeah, that was rough. Bayley did not look good coming out of that. Like you said, she didn't have a good answer. I probably equate MMA to WWE too much, but if I heard like Ronda Rousey or somebody say like, I'm just here to put smiles on people's faces, that's not what I want to hear. I know Bayley and her are nowhere near alike, but I want to hear that story. I want to hear like, yes, I'm beat, but I'm going to get back up and I'm going to be better than ever. She just doesn't have that. Her childlike innocence is really damaging her, I think, at this point. To me, she just looks goofy now because she's been so defined down as like a loser. The past week, they're like, they went that This Is Your Life segment and Bayley's ex-boyfriend trying to kiss her dad. And she didn't come out and say, no, none of that's true. That never happened. So that's like part of her canon now, that everyone thinks she's a loser and nobody wants to hang out with her. She's just been so badly damaged. And then to top it off, she just ended the segment really awkwardly, hugging Corey Graves, and I think some people out there were probably like, I don't want somebody hugging me.
Hugging is a creepy thing that you don't want. Yeah, I mean, that was and you know, there are hugs like that that are creepy things you don't want. But I was just like, why would you? And, you know, I don't think you. I don't know Bailey's character. Whatever, I can't believe I'm going to say it this way. But anyway, what her sexuality should be something separate from what we see on television. We should assume she's a normal, nice girl. But you don't tell that part of the story. You don't have like whatever creepiness shouldn't be a part of her story. And you know, even a heel making it some, you know, like you know, a heel being not innocent, I still wouldn't do that. It's just like just tell a straightforward story. And let her even be, you know, do those awkward promos that, but they're sincere and they sound so credible. And it's just like, ugh, I don't know. I mean, yeah, that was rough. Let's move to another phone call. Let's go to our friend Kylan from New Jersey. Kylan, welcome to the Wednesday PW Torch Livecast.
Thank you, Bruce. How are you and Andrew doing this week?
I'm doing good. Better every day. School's ending up, so. Making it to summer, so I'm pretty happy. So, yep.
And, I know you're happy, Bruce.
I'm getting time for Dominion, so that's been helpful too. So you'll hear some more with that. So I'm diving back into New Japan this summer, so I'm looking forward to that too.
I'm looking forward to hearing your coverage, Bruce.
Appreciate that.
So, my first question for you is on the recent, in my opinion, downward trajectory of Shinsuke Nakamura. What do you suppose can be done to rehab the Shinsuke Nakamura character going forward?
I don't think there's a lot that needs to be done as far as rehabbing the character, except for I would just want to see Nakamura treated as more of a special occasion, more of not teaming him like last night in a six man, for example, like having him wrestle by himself. And they featured him by the end of the show. I mean, he got the last big move in at the end of the show, but I would just want to, kind of not have him be a part of Sami Zayn being neurotic and him reacting to that and all that. And I actually don't want Sami Zayn doing that either, but leave that for the data, you know, the wrestlers that are, you know, even on top, but are part of the normal mix. Bring him in and act like it's a big deal and make it special. And then also don't put him in any more of these situations where someone is just talking at him. And then we've got to prove that he speaks English. I mean, that's fine. I mean, it's good that he does, and you can use that, but he doesn't have to be exactly like every other, you know, wrestler and every other top wrestler who has to do those contrived 15 to 20 minute debates back and forth that really aren't debates. You just sit there and listen to a guy run you down for 8 or 9 minutes and just look at them and then wait for your turn. And then if you're the babyface, you get interrupted by the next guy. And it's just, they need to, you know, that is such a trope they need to adjust. Andrew, what do you think?
Yeah, I'm pretty much on board. That segment last night with Sami Zayn, it reminded me, like, just tonally from when Goldberg first joined WWE and he was in that Goldust skit and Goldust put a wig on him, in the sense that this is something Nakamura just shouldn't be in. He shouldn't be in WWE's weird silliness, campy humor. Yeah, limit him. Have him. Obviously, he's going to wrestle more than Brock Lesnar, but don't have him wrestle as much as Dolph Ziggler. You know, find a happy medium where when he shows up, it's a huge deal. You talk about it all night. You know, make him like an Undertaker was 10 years ago in the sense
exactly.
that
yeah.
every time
yeah.
he shows up, yeah, he's his special appearance and make people actually want to see him. Otherwise, you're just damaging the star power like with what they did last night.
And, you know, the other part is I think for people who saw him in New Japan Pro Wrestling and saw him wrestle Joe in NXT, he hasn't had that kick-ass match. And, he was like Bret Hart in the sense that Bret Hart was in his prime in WWF. In New Japan, where he didn't have a kick-ass match every time he went out, but for the big matches, he really put forward that. And we need to see whether he can still do that. He may not be able to, but I think properly, presented everything else that he still has. He's got the charisma. He's unique. He's got enough wrestling that he still could be a main, a big time special attraction. But yeah, I agree. The more you make him one of the talent in a regular way, the less effective he's going to be. And it's hard to find guys like him. There's something special with him that transcends even being a great worker in the ring. There's something unique that really that you've got to exploit, and you can't let it not be unique. So we'll see, we'll see where all that comes down. Kylan, what else do you have for us?
Okay. My next question is in regards to the Hardy Boys. If you have seen it yet, what was your opinion of Corey Graves directly addressing the whole Hardy's Broken Universe / Anthem legal dispute right now, and does the fact that Corey Graves asked Matt and Jeff about it mean that we are any closer to seeing the broken dynamics of Matt and Jeff in WWE anytime soon?
Yeah, I would think so. I would think that someone from WWE is bringing that up with the permission of WWE, then Corey Graves is probably the right guy to do it, and the younger guy. I would say that someone thinks they're either going to be able to play that gimmick in WWE, or the Hardys are, or they're going to do something new that's different from that gimmick. And I think they're going to have to tweak it now, but if they get that chance. Andrew?
If they get it, they're definitely going to have to tone it down quite a bit. I don't think he's going to be traveling through time and talking to kangaroos and wrestling them. I would like to see it, though, in some form. The Hardys, they're fine, but I don't think this is the level of excitement that most fans were looking for. And kind of, I guess it's Matt especially. He's getting up there. He's not quite – I mean, he's taking a beating, so he's not able to quite get over with his in-ring work alone anymore. So he really needs a character that stands out, and he developed one in Impact. So I would like to see it happen, but they've been teasing it for months, so I guess I'm just not sure if that's going to go forward.
Yeah, I think you hit on something really important. I thought last night, and they're not up against the NBA Finals, and they didn't know that, but to go 2 out of 3 falls in a match with those guys, they're not 2 out of 3. Number one, I still just like, you need a reason to go 2 out of 3 falls. It needs to be that it needs to be that you win the hour draw. It needs to be that this somehow is going to solve something instead of just, we need a longer match. And I've watched Jeff and Matt on the indie trail in the last year and in Ring of Honor. And then also also in WWE. And you're right. Matt looks like Matt Hardy, and Jeff does too. And Jeff can do, Jeff can do those spots, but putting the match together, they they have to rely on some hardcore sleight of hand. And so to put him in a 2 out of 3 fall match, I just thought not a good, you know, not a good idea. And then they are going to need something different than just being Matt and Jeff, the Hardy boys. I didn't look at them. I thought it was really dumb to talk about them being a nostalgia act on the air, because I don't think they are. But unless you start pigeonholing like that and tell everybody they are, and then it's there. But yeah, they're going to need to make some sort of change. So you would think down the line, I'm sure they're aware of it. And it's exactly what you were talking about, Andrew. Something that they can play personalities and not so much daredevil stunt wrestlers. And that, you know, that's just the trajectory. If you're smart with your career, that's something that can, that you can definitely do. Let's go to 615. 615, you're up next on the PW Torch Livecast.
Hey, Bruce. Hey, Andrew. How are you doing? It's Kenny from Galveston, Tennessee, VIP member. That's good.
Yes, sir, Kenny.
I just want to say that you guys are doing a real good job on your show today. I've been listening to it pretty much from start to finish. And what I want to talk about, and you kind of relate a little bit to it with the whole Bray Wyatt situation, but really want to talk about a couple of guys that have been into the social media aspect of pro wrestling this week. First off, we can't talk about a live cast show without Roman Reigns. And he went on Twitter apparently yesterday, and I'm reading it right now, where he said, and I quote, "Yeah, I guess I'm working my butt off 5 days a week while being away from my wife and kids for the last 7 years is being, quote, handed it," unquote. I just couldn't believe it. You know, it's like when I saw that on Bleacher Report that he tweeted that, I'm like, oh, you know, it's just, I don't know if you saw that or not, but I want to get your thoughts on what he said, and do you agree with that or not?
Andrew, go ahead. I did see it, by the way, and I'll talk about it. Just a second.
Yeah, I just read that up before the show, too, and he kind of insulted a couple more people, just calling them dumb marks, basically. Yeah, that's not good, unless he's turning heel, I mean, which is not going to happen anytime soon. Like, John Cena, when he goes on Twitter, he doesn't just tear fans down, even though he has had tons of hate over the years. You know, he's Roman Reigns before Roman Reigns was Roman Reigns, so he's dealt with that. It doesn't look good, you know, rise above it or whatever cliche you want to use. He's making millions. He's set for life. If he wanted to quit wrestling right now, and he could probably be an actor or just do nothing. So him tearing, like, just attacking people for having views that he doesn't agree with, and there may be a little truth in him, but yes, of course, he worked very hard to get where he is, but he just really shouldn't waste his time doing that sort of thing.
Yeah, I agree with that last point. Go ahead. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Well, I'm in agreement with you. It just seems like that it just goes to show that in the minds of the fans or the casual fans or whatever that have seen that, like, well, he's really not our guy. You know, all it does is just continues to push people away from him, period. Whether even if he does turn heel, you know, it's not going to matter anymore. People are just going to look at this guy's like, ugh, I don't want to see him anymore. That type of mentality. When they see him, and it's the constant thing, you know, Wade keeps talking about all the time, where wrestlers, you know, in social media, you know, they tend to act more like themselves and not really trying to protect their gimmick and everything like that. And, you know, and this is a good example of it. And I don't know if you agree with that analogy or not, Bruce.
Yeah, I wrote about this week. I wrote about it last night for the Torch newsletter. And, yeah, you know, I definitely saw it. And this is what I thought about it. I thought it was bad on both sides. But to take the other side of it with Rain, one of the things is I'm not convinced that this kind of Twitter social media thing has – I think it's a bad deal. I agree with Wade in the main. But I don't agree with Wade as far as, like, how much damage this does. I think it's a subset of a subset of people who are so involved in professional wrestling and social media that they're looking at that and then they're taking it that seriously, or they're taking it to heart. I guess they take it seriously, but they're taking it to heart. But I look at it like, you know, I wrote about this. I've just been on Twitter for a year, and I was really hesitant for years to go on Twitter because I knew that, you know, I knew that I write things with strong opinions, and I felt like that I was going to be spending some of my time trying to politely defend myself or get insulted and all that. And then if it's one of those deals where if it happens 100 times and you deal with it professionally 99 times, and then that one time you get caught in the wrong moment and you call somebody a name or you do something, that's the one that lives on. And I've had, my whole life, whatever job I've had, there's been some customer service element to it. And so I take that really seriously, and I don't like to see, I don't want to be out there insulting people that are my customers. And that's where I think that he, he, no matter what, made a mistake. I mean, that was bad. And I've been happy with Twitter for the most part. But on the other hand, I use the example, all of a sudden I was looking at some guy, I didn't even realize it, but he was some sort of UK reality star, and thought I'd made some real minor mistake on some tweet while I was just tweeting out during a wrestling show, and called me a mark. And I'm just like, and it just hit me the wrong way. It's just too condescending. I don't like the word mark. I don't like people trying to make it into, oh, we were just fans. I mean, no, mark is a victim of a con. And even the part about we're just fans, it's like, you're a customer, you pay good money, you have a right to get a good product. You don't, and you're not different from either. Everybody's a human being. They're trying to do their job. And that's the other part of it, is what I don't like is this idea that you just barge to the front of a line for someone like Roman Reigns and you go, you got handed that. That's a pretty serious thing to say to somebody who works as hard as that guy does. And this isn't even about whether he's over or should be in that position or what part of it is easier on him because they favor him. And they do. I mean, that's entertainment. That's entertainment. That's sports. The ones that the talent that management or coaches see can do the best job for them. Whether they're right or not, they're going to get a different experience than the walk-on who's battling to make the team. They're gonna have it, and that's just life. I mean, there's Shane McMahon, and then there's Roman Reigns. Where Roman Reigns, and we talked about this with Wade too, a while back, and Randy Orton, where there's an advantage of coming from a wrestling family because you should understand wrestling and been around it a lot, and that should that should help you to learn. It should give you a step up. There's an advantage in just looking how Roman Reigns looks, and the size that Roman Reigns has and the athletic ability he had being a college football player. That's an advantage. It's not a privilege necessarily, but it's, I think a privilege is Shane McMahon, where he gets to skip all the lines and go right to the top. And he gets to take, whatever it is going to get him over, that other folks throughout wrestling didn't. And that he's certainly not the only, son of a promoter that's been able to work with that. But, Charlotte still has to do, Charlotte Flair still has to do something once she gets in there, and that David couldn't do. And so anyway, what I'm saying is there's this part of it. Years ago at WCW, I remember sitting at home one night, and I got a phone call from a friend of mine, and he's actually someone who's active on the show, come back to the show, and it was Johnny Fairplay. I get this phone call from Johnny, 2 a.m, and I'm asleep, and he's bragging about how he was in the bar and there was a WCW wrestler who wasn't very good. I'm not going to call his name, and he's not involved in wrestling anymore. Who wasn't any good and was kind of cocky and didn't know he wasn't any good. And he just started bragging to me, and Johnny was drunk, and he's bragging to me about how he's just ripping the guy and giving him hell about sucking and, in this bar, and that Chris Jericho came over and, got in Johnny's face and yelled at him, and how terrible that was, according to Johnny. And I was listening to that going, people have a right to not be treated that way, whether they're in entertainment or not. It's one thing to heckle them during a show, and it's one thing to heckle them even if they're walking to the bus or something. But to go find where they're drinking, I think there's a right, there's a human right to have a drink in peace after work. And you still got to deal with being a celebrity and all that, but to go and find some guy and tell him what a lousy job he's doing, And then the guy's thinking, I work 5 days a week and I'm traveling all the time and I'm missing my family and all this. And I'm not that bad. And they're telling me I'm doing a good job. And this, you're just treating me with some contempt and patting me on the head. I can see where you snap. It's like, that shouldn't be going on either. Like, that's kind of a part of social media. That's just like, it's just, we should have more respect for each other. And that's, my school teacher is coming out in me, but, and as far as like people are alienated from Roman Reigns and he should know that, then he shouldn't be giving anybody any easy hooks to hang him with. And but the idea that like that guy was just handed something and he didn't have to work hard for it and he isn't working hard now, that's just as inaccurate as, he's the greatest thing since sliced bread and everybody loves him. I mean, and that's the part that I kind of have problems with. So yeah, I got on my soapbox on that one, but do you guys have any reaction to what I just said or any rebuttal to it or?
I was going to say Roman has to, he's at least good. In the past, Giant Gonzalez was basically handed that role and he was terrible and it was taken away from him. So you at least have to give Roman credit for looking the part, being in shape. He has something. He's good enough at everything, and Vince McMahon likes him. So to say he's just terrible and was handed it is very much an overstretch.
Yeah, and I just think like that idea that you just have this contempt for this performer. I mean, I know there's performers I don't like, and I don't really respect, but I don't get the idea of going and contacting them and telling them that. I get the idea of not buying a ticket to their show, not watching their television show, not. Whatever it is they're peddling, I just stay away from it. And that's, and I think also just being an old wrestling fan who's seen a lot of Brian Gonzalez and a lot of those guys and Wanda Belt and all that stuff. And I've seen guys that had what Reigns has and I thought were lazy and didn't make it for that. And I was like, I don't see that in him. I just see, I see a whole set of circumstances that make it whether he should be on top or not. And we're still working all that out. But I also see, and I've talked about that a lot lately, is in the last several months, is a guy who, is a guy who has a main event R, and it's a weird one, but it's there. So, but yeah, even if he really did suck, I mean, even if like it wasn't right and it wasn't there, I just, and he was no showing dates. It's like I wouldn't go on social media and having never met him and just say that. Now, would I write it in a column? Yeah, I would. I absolutely would. But that's a different, and I would hope to be accurate. I would hope not to be. That was inaccurate. It was insulting and inaccurate. So I bet there are Roman Reigns fans too. The other part we're talking about, I bet there are Roman Reigns fans and people in the industry who thought, and I know there are people in the industry who thought, good for him, give it back to them. There's always a really weird relationship between wrestling fans and wrestlers and how it's evolved over the years from, the wrestlers are real, screw you if you don't believe it. And the fights are real, and go jump in a lake and how wrestlers like kind of took advantage of that and made money off of it, but also just took advantage of it to now where you've got fans who are as interested in the business side as they are. And, we serve those fans, but who are interested in the business side, who look at wrestlers, do they deserve do they deserve to get the championship? Do they deserve, have they put in enough time as an intern to get to be the plumber, to get to be the master plumber instead of, some charisma counts and some things count that aren't fair. And you just get over or you don't get over. And it's not necessarily a fair thing. And so, I don't know, it's a really interesting, one of the things that like I like about following this business and being a student of it, it's like, it's a really interesting dynamic that shifts all the time.
Yeah, but you're absolutely right. The dynamics just keep changing all the time with pro wrestling, especially now with new technology. And not only that, just mainstream media coverage. It leads up to my one little quick topic, and I'll get off because I think you're about time for your commercial, and that is, you mentioned earlier, Bray Wyatt and JoJo, and that whole deal that just happened like right out of nowhere on Monday. And it's just funny, it's like 4 years ago people were comparing him to being like, he's going to be the next Cena, he's going to be the next Undertaker as far as how far his gimmick was going. And then you see news of this, and it's just, it kind of makes me think, you know, we all kind of know about The Undertaker's personal life now, but 20 years ago, we never really got to know that much. He was so good at protecting what he was as far as his gimmick, largely because the things that were here now 20 years now aren't there 20 years ago, basically, like Twitter and Facebook and so forth. And I guess really my question is, you know, we were talking about the how damaged Bayley is and whether or not they need to do a reboot or whatever. Don't you think that that may also apply for Bray Wyatt? Do you think that possibly like a change of brands, or maybe have one of the two change brands, like say JoJo goes to SmackDown? Don't you think that that might be the best case scenario to fix this problem? Or, you know, is this what we're all leading up to? Is she going to be Sister Abigail? I mean, I just scratched my head and wondering about that scenario, and wanted to throw a couple little tidbits on that. And that's really all I had to say. You guys have a good rest of the show.
Appreciate the call. Some interesting topics. As far as I think with Bray Wyatt, there's always needed to be, you know, more detail to what he's about, or more of a foundation to just, you know, the fireflies and the and you know, the interesting talk that really goes nowhere and all that. I think that needs to be worked on. I don't think his tabloid adventure this week changes anything for him. And it's not, you know, and it's a business where you have young people who are physical, and they're traveling all the time away from wives and girlfriends and all that. And so it's always been part, particularly, you know, once the, say, you know, in WCW, once the Nitro girls came around, and once the idea of having divas and knockouts and all that, it's even more of a part of business than just fans in different cities. And so now you've got, you know, corporate appearances to keep up, and you've also got, you know, and then you've got people get recorded and news can go out really quickly. And even divorce news like that would slip by because the mainstream media, as you said, you know, just wasn't that interested. But now there's just this need for, you know, need for gossip news 24 hours, 7 days a week. But I don't think it's going to, you know, I don't think it's going to affect his push. You know, we'll see. Andrew?
Yeah, I wouldn't assume so. I mean, WWE hasn't come down on people just talking about their characters, because he was on Sam Roberts. We have a recap on that on PW Podcast. He talked about his character, his influences, and all of that. You know, he wasn't Bray Wyatt, essentially. So if they're not going to be bothered by that, I don't think they'll be bothered by, you know, that news breaking out, especially since, like, Seth Rollins wasn't punished for, you know, cheating on his fiance and that leaking out. But yeah, just Bray in general, the only thing I can think of really for him is not so much changing brands, just going away for a bit. I mean, I think he's so badly damaged and overexposed and been shown time and time again that he can't win. Like, I think he just needs to go away. Like, usually that only happens when people are injured, but if he disappeared for 6 months, I think it would probably be the best thing for his character at the moment.
I agree with that. That's kind of what I think with Bayley too. There's sometimes, you know, I'm very much want to see logic and storylines and detail work and all that. But there's sometimes you've gone down the rabbit hole in screwing around with a character so badly that maybe just the thing to do is to come back, you know, just let some time go by, let a whole bunch of 3-hour shows go by and some other things take people's time, and then come back, pretend like, you know, Bayley didn't choke when she picked up a, you know, kendo stick, or never show her with a kendo stick again, and go back to the basics of the character. I mean, I think, you know, your example with Goldberg and the wig, you know, here he comes years later, and and they just did the Goldberg that came, you know, they did everything they could to present the Goldberg from WCW, the real basic character, and it worked. I mean, just, you know, get there, and also just figure out what Bayley's character is figured out. It's just, you just got to do it. And then Bray's is just, they need to figure some more out of, yeah, he's overexposed. And sometimes that would just be a good thing. I mean, that would be, give him time to think it through and give, you know, give a fresh coat of paint. And, you know, I come from watching wrestling from the territory days, and someone before, you know, you could see where they would move guys off of the main events before that people got fired up and send them to, you know, send them across the country. And then with the idea of you're going to see them again, it's just, we're going to take them off the table while you still want to see them, and then bring them back when you really want to see them more, you miss them. And that's trying to manage that in a world where, in this modern wrestling world, you know, two brands or whatever, it's, you know, two brands. This is, you know, it's not like people watching Monday night aren't watching Tuesday night and vice versa. So, but they could do it with NXT, you know, send somebody down to NXT, put them on, and not even down, but put them on the NXT brand and have them do interesting things and away from the main creative, and bring, and, you know, and build them back and bring them, you know, and also have them work with new talent. That's an opportunity I don't think they've taken advantage as much as they could. We'll be right back to phone calls in just a second. Well, 30 seconds.
If you're like me, you've got a list of your favorite podcasts that you listen to throughout the week, and also your favorite websites that you listen to throughout the week, but they don't always overlap. But in the case of PW Torch, they do. We hope not only will you listen to the PW Torch livecast every day, but also visit pwtorch.com every day for the latest insider perspective, breaking news, TV reports, live event reports, live pay-per-view coverage, exclusive editorials, and a wide range of other features. Check it out every day. It's mobile-friendly, desktop and laptop-friendly. Stay up to the minute, stay up to date with pwtorch.com.
516, you're up next on the PW Torch livecast.
Hey guys, how you doing?
Doing well.
Excellent. I have two things.
Wait a second. Before you have your two things, tell us who you are and where you're from.
Sorry, guys. This is Darnell from New York.
Thank you, Darnell.
Sorry. You guys, I was listening to the conversation about Bray Wyatt. I wanted to know what you all would think about kind of like if Bray Wyatt went away for a while and he came back with the Wyatt family. Do you think that would be a better thing for him? Because I feel like ever since they broke up the Wyatt family, it's been downhill for him. And I feel like he came in with the Wyatt family and he was kind of like the orchestrator, and he sent them out and they attacked people. And that was one of the things that made me like him personally. Do you think he would be better off back with the Wyatt family? Because Luke Harper and Eric Rowan, to me, they're not doing anything on SmackDown. They're just wandering around and they're fighting for no reason and stuff like that. So do you think they would be better off together? That's
Andrew.
Sorry.
Yeah. Andrew.
For me, I think you would have to go a long time before reforming that group, much like the Shield, just because the last iteration of it was so poorly done. I think Luke Harper and Eric Rowan are, you know, talented guys, especially Harper, but they've been treated like jobbers for a long time. So I think they would all need to disappear for 6 months to a year, maybe even longer, and then do something even different. Add more members to the group, add a woman to the group, add a cruiserweight to the group. In my mind, they're just all so badly damaged that it would be tough to really regain that momentum without like a serious investment in management. They'd have to treat them as seriously as like they have with Braun Strowman and just how Rowan and Harper have been treated in the past. I just don't know if they'd be up for that.
Yeah, I think that you could do another version of the Wyatt family, but I wouldn't want to put the three of them back together again because it never, you know, the Shield was really popular. I mean, the Shield worked, and they broke them up before they got tired. I mean, in fact, I'd argue that they broke them up at the wrong time, but particularly Daniel Bryan around. But I mean, there's something in getting them back together again at the right time against the right opponents in the right way. With the Wyatt family, there's not going to be that nostalgia for it. And you're right, the last time they put those three back together again with no real explanation, it wasn't as good. And you know, we've seen, you know, longtime wrestling fans have seen the NWO and seen, seen them get together as the Outsiders and then add Eric Bischoff, then add a whole bunch of people, then add the black and white, then add the red, add Eddie Guerrero's group of them, and you know, and all that, and the four, you know, and the four horsemen over and over and over again. That just because there's a name there doesn't mean you have to do it. If I'd like to see Bray Wyatt, you know, have new members, I'd like to see Luke Harper be himself, Eric, you know, just be a character that's away from them, like Braun Strowman is, and make it on his own, or get the opportunity to make it on his own. And, I think he can talk enough and he can definitely wrestle. You know, he's got a great look and he can definitely wrestle. So, do something with that. And Eric Rowan's same thing. And, but yeah, I don't think you go back to, I would want to have not two big goons. I would want to have something different. Like you said, a cruiserweight or a woman or somebody, you know, just change it up in some way. And yeah, and Bray Wyatt maybe should just be by himself. That depends, particularly if you're going to set him up, because down the line, if he's going to be a character babyface, if he's going to be a hero in that role, he's going to be by himself. So, he's not going to have a gang with that. So, you know, we'll see where that goes. 985, you're up next on the PW Torch Livecast. 985? Yes.
Oh, hey, hello. Hey, it's me again. Hey, it's Cody again.
Sorry, Cody.
No, it's all right, guys.
All right, we'll come back. All right, we'll appreciate that. Before we go, Andrew, I know tonight we've got East Coast Cast as part of the PW Torch Livecast Network, and I'm sure there's a lot of interesting things to talk about. And, you know, and some things are sadly interesting today and this week, but let's for them to talk about with Travis Bryant, Cam, and Rich Fan, and Wade Keller will be back with Rich Fan on Friday. And also I believe, look for Wade as, you know, starting, doing news, wrestling news for Stone Cold Steve Austin's podcast. But I want you, Andrew, go ahead and plug again, what you're doing with the Torch and what you're going to do tomorrow night.
Yeah, absolutely. Tomorrow night, Mike McMahon and I are co-hosting the PW Torch Livecast Impact call-in show right after Impact ends. We run down the show, we take calls from callers, and then we started up a new feature just trying to build more on the history of TNA, because I feel a lot of places just don't do that. So we do a top three list every week at the end of the show. Last week we covered the top three most overpushed wrestlers in TNA history. Tomorrow we're going to do most underpushed, and then every week just come up with a new topic. So check that out. Otherwise, I do the Impact hits and misses every week too for the Torch. So you can find that on Friday at on the Torch.
Now, as far as these theme shows with TNA goes, have you covered Lollipop Girl yet? Because my friends and I still have. Yeah, my friends and I still have a fascination with Lollipop Girl from the early days of TNA. So, in fact, I kind of got an update on her, but I don't know if I can share it on the air. But yeah, oh, Lollipop Girl. So, there's some. You know, when you look at the names of people of acts, and not just Lollipop Girl, but who came through TNA, including, you know, what was the name of the girl who the young woman who was a singer-songwriter and a announcer. I mean, there's a lot of people who have come.
Goldilocks.
Goldilocks. I mean, but there's a lot of people, and then a lot of major wrestling names. I mean, a ton of major wrestling names come through. So, I like that. It's an interesting concept. And some of them, you know, did better than others. And some of them, you know, did some interesting things, whether it worked or not. So that's a pretty cool idea. I like that. And of course, PW Torch podcast, where you can get an idea of which podcast you're interested in listening to and get summaries and also how to skip around on those podcasts and which ones maybe skip, because as Andrew said, you could spend, I don't know, 48 hours a week listening to all the podcasts that are out there. But Andrew, first time to work together. Thank you. I think we did fine, and appreciate the callers on this day, and we'll switch back with Wade next week. And now, who did you enjoy working with more, editor publisher Wade Taylor or me? And tell the truth.
Oh man, do you have the power to fire me as well?
See, that's not right. You should just say me. And then next week you should tell Wade that he was. No.
Oh, yeah. In case he's not listening. Yeah, that's right. I'll go.
Oh,
yeah, of course.
I bet. And Wade's listening because I'll hear about it. But yeah, cool. But no, I enjoyed it. Hopefully we'll be able to do this again, Andrew. And so appreciate people listening to PW Torch Livecast.
If you're a fan of the PW Torch Livecast, you might want to consider a PW Torch VIP membership. When you do that, you get access to an exclusive RSS feed of not only ad-free, plug-free versions of every single PW Torch Livecast, but also over 50 other VIP exclusive podcasts per month, including the Every Single Day Wade Keller Hotline. I also host three other flagship VIP exclusive podcasts: The Midweek Fix with Todd Martin, The Weekend Bruce Mitchell Audio Show, each about 2 hours in length, and the post pay-per-view roundtables with a 1 hour analysis of every WWE pay-per-view and some other ones too. Also, ad-free access to PWTorchVIP.com, and that is mobile-friendly and PC and desktop-friendly. And also access to almost three decades of the Pro Wrestling Torch newsletter, dating back to the late 1980s, over 1,400 back issues, with my pay-per-view reports on every single pay-per-view match since the late 1980s, with star ratings and match descriptions, roundtable reviews from the staff on every pay-per-view, cover stories on the biggest story every single week in pro wrestling, march through them as a VIP member 1 week at a time, read our exclusive Torch Talks with pro wrestling's biggest names, hard-hitting editorials, backstage tidbits you will not hear anywhere else, and much more. It's all available. Check out details at pwtorch.com/govip. That's pwtorch.com/govip. Exclusive podcasts, exclusive new newsletters every week, ad-free access to our website, and access to 28-plus years of archives. It's all waiting for you if you go VIP. Find out more details, a checklist of all the benefits of being a VIP member, along with testimonials from current members and a sign-up form that's mobile-friendly. Takes about 90 seconds to sign up. Go check it out today, pwtorch.com/govip. Live!